Good afternoon, Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon. How are you going?
I'm good. Now, this afternoon for That's the Spirit, we're talking about the Catholic Church Synod in the Amazon.
Well, it's actually not in the Amazon. It's in the Vatican. It's in the Vatican, but it's the Amazon Synod. It's the synod about what he calls the Amazonia, and has gathered about 300 delegates, I think it is, from various parts of Latin America to discuss the way forward for the church in the area.
Now, the Catholic Church has had kind of a somewhat checkered history in Latin America.
Yes, true indeed.
With its original arrival there.
Originally, of course, it was... If you weren't Catholic, you were killed. It was a very rough ride in the early days of Portuguese Latin America. Because the Amazonia covers quite a lot of the other countries in Latin America, anywhere where the Amazon flows. And in fact, I think it touches, not sure, I think it's 10 different countries altogether, though primarily Brazil, of course. And in recent years, there's been a huge rise of Pentecostal and the evangelical Protestantism and various types of sectarian religious groups, and a good deal of just people start losing interest in religion. So all of these are factors, and a huge, huge problem of lack of priests. So that's the context in which 2 years ago Pope Francis called for this consultation. And around its proposals, there's a huge build-up of sort of campaigns, some who want radical changes to take place to enable the church to recover its place in Latin America, some who believe that these radical proposals are going to destroy the very essence of the Catholic Church. So it's quite an entertaining event, really.
As I guess one of the issues that the church is pinning its its hopes on is scoring points in the ecology-based Catholic faith, given the environmental disaster which is sort of unfolding in the Amazon with the fires and whatnot at the moment.
That is really true. It is very striking that the documents were released well before the huge fires of the last 2 months, and yet they perceptively recognised that the whole problem of the protection of the environment lay at the very heart of what they were doing. And so, I mean, the Catholic Church needs to be commended for a document that is broad-ranging and clearly with Francis's vision behind it, deeply aware that the continent is in crisis. And, you know, that comes through at every line of the preparatory document.
Do you think, you know, when we look back on the spread of religion and how it will move into a new area and it adopts some of the, I guess, for lack of a better word, pagan traditions the area, is this sort of a similar move in some regards, or do you think there are good intentions?
Why couldn't it be both, Johnny? It seems to me that, you know, the whole way in which we're all thinking from whatever backgrounds we are involves environmental concerns today, and you have to retranslate those into every religious and political terminology that you can find. And the Catholic Church is so influential in Latin America that it's very significant that it's lending its voice to that campaign. And I think that's the interesting thing. So, sure, they're bending the way in which what people want to hear, that's foremost in their minds in some ways. But they are also very much of Latin America. Remember, Pope Francis is from Latin America himself. And is acutely aware that the continent is not looking too good.
Where does the church sit going into bat and defend against, I guess, the capitalism that is taking place in the area and the destruction of their environment? Are they the right organisation to be going in to fight for the environment?
This is, I think, part of the puzzle. I think if they don't go in and fight for it, then inevitably they will make it, you know, they could be a real obstacle to bringing about transformation. There's little doubt that conservatism and religion often form very powerful allies of each other. But whether the church could pull off a transformation attitudes to the environment in the face of the Brazilian president, well, you would doubt it. So I think it's fair to say that religion can create an environment for change, but it doesn't really have very effective tools for bringing about the transformation unless it's a kind of people's movement, and the people's movement has the power to change government's minds. And I don't see any evidence of that in Latin America at the moment.
Well, what sort of terms is the Catholic Church on with the Brazilian president at the moment?
Though extremely poor terms. I mean, he's exceedingly critical, I think, of all of these trends, and he listens hard, it would seem, to the critics of Pope Francis, and he listens hard to those who are angry at what many would see as kind of a liberation theology revived. And he does not want that kind of movement going on. You know, he wants the capitalists to rescue the country, if you like. And it is very striking that the pre-synod document is really in that sort of Francis style of convinced that only a church of the poor can bring about transformation.
It seems like it would be difficult to adopt any sort of policy on the church's behalf to weasel your way into the indigenous communities of the Amazon when the government at a higher level is basically opposed to it.
Yeah, and so potentially there's room for massive conflict. You could imagine, you know, like, I don't know if you ever saw that movie, that's long before your time, of The Mission, in which the arrival of the Jesuits in South America, they pin their hopes on an indigenous church, and they're brought down by the combined forces of Spain and Portugal. Now, that was the reality back in the 18th century, when the church, when the Jesuits sought to bring about transformation in Latin America. It could well be exactly the same again this time. What could make it also more complex is that part of the solution being proposed in the document is that the church becomes more fit for purpose by doing all sorts of experiments, for example, ordaining married clergy, in order to make the church sort of have more feet on the ground.
Okay.
And those sorts of proposals are producing further panic and anger among conservatives. So there's a whole lot of things going on.
I guess that's somewhat progressive, but I guess, like you say, interesting to see panic within the older sort of generation of the church.
Yes, and I think it's quite hard, given the traditions of Latin America, for the church to fully transform and be an agent of change. I think that's quite problematic, given its massive investments, its role for so many generations in suppressing the native South Americans. And of course, it's they who are the voice of the Amazon, if you like. The heart of it is against the sort of Spanish traditions, the people who came and took over effectively from indigenous population.
Just out of interest, where does the Catholic Church's financial interests mainly lie? What sort of industries?
Huge land holdings, mostly. Very, very large land holdings. Leastwise in Latin America. That's a bit different for the Vatican itself. The Vatican itself is, I think, very extensively locked up in investments and buildings and the like. The trouble with a lot of the church's assets, is that there's nothing that they can do with them. You know, they look massive on a balance sheet as possessions, but they're not earning anything much.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And that's the classic problem of churches, I think.
Hmm. Hey, Peter, thank you very much. A very fascinating edition of That's the Spirit. I guess we'll watch the space and see what unfolds.
We will watch the space. I think there'll be interesting things unfold. Very good.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
See you. Bye-bye.